Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipaye Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Well, have you been blessed so far? This is the second part of our teaching series, themed what? Fuego. Amen. Hallelujah. And fuego in Spanish is fire. Say fire. And I pray for you that this session, this month, will achieve that result of fire in your life. Say big amen. Amen. I want to pray for you like I've been doing. You know, I told you that like if we were to theme this month in another, you know, way and not just fuego, I think that we would say, God, make us a people of prayer. This series is not just to teach you to pray. We have sermons on how to pray, but it is a prayer. The teaching itself is a prayer. God, make us a people of prayer. Some of you, the way you pray today, I've not seen you pray like that before. Wow. So you can pray like that. Some of you, the only times you've prayed like that is when you have problems. Say, amen. But you're going to learn how to be that expressive in prayer to God every time you come before Him. Amen. So I want to pray for you that in the name of Jesus, as a result of this series, you are restored to a heart of prayer. In this month of June, your walk with God receives rejuvenation. Say big amen. In the month of June, you are going deeper than ever before. Dead altars come alive. In the name of Jesus. And like I said on Thursday, God is calling us higher. Tell the person beside you, say, God is calling us higher. Say, God is calling us deeper. Let me prepare your heart for something. From now down to camp meeting, and after camp meeting, I'm going to be doing a different type of preparation for you. As a church, the moment after camp meeting is over, I'm going to restart the clock of our curriculum in this ministry, and I'm going to go back to the basics. And the reason is because God wants to enlist you into the army of what He's doing around you. And so I'm taking up the task of training you for it. So we're going to, you know, enter into proper discipleship just after camp. And in camp meeting, my one prayer, and I'm already praying for you as well. We're already praying. We started praying on Friday. And personally, I'm praying for you that God reveals to you who He wants you to be. That He shows you your great destiny so that you too can see it. You have to understand, it's not okay for just your pastor to know it and to see it. You have to see it. So you can know the kind of preparation that it requires. Some of you are just not sure. That's why some things seem extra to you. But when you are sure, are you listening to what I'm saying? I can assure you, every one of you here have a call to ministry. Yeah. You see, so that's what camp meeting and prayer will do for you. There are some things that when you are outside of prayer, you don't feel like it. Have you been praying before and you know there's something great ahead? But when you stop praying, nothing. In the name of Jesus, God will open your eyes in camp meeting. Hallelujah. So, we started on Thursday. How many of you listened to Thursday's sermon? Oh, how beautiful was it? Well, are you ready for more? Let's move at the speed of light. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to be deceiving myself to assume that everyone here has a prayer life. And for those who are prayerful, that's good. I want to tell you there is more in God. Say there's more in God. And for those of you who are struggling, don't worry. You can still make it better. Amen? There are depths in God you can achieve. But I said there are two simple reasons why prayer is important. Do you remember? I started one on Thursday. What's the first reason? Come on, can you chorus it together? I want to go. Chorus it, want to go. So God can do in your life, in our lives, what he wants to do. Number two is what? So the devil cannot do in your life what he wants to do. One of the things the devil wants to do is to isolate you and get you. Many of us don't need village people to chase us. The devil is already chasing. Do you hear that right? You don't need village people to chase you. They've been chasing you since. Listen, one of the things you must realize as a believer is that the devil is after you. When you understand the the origin of spiritual warfare and understand the rebellion of the devil, you understand that the devil has been defeated. He only wants to take as many people along as he can. So before you were born, you were born into a war. The moment you got saved, there was a devil that is ready to say, you will be mine. So you don't need village people to stop you from praying. You don't even need distractions to stop you from praying. Just for the fact that you are in this flesh, you will not feel like praying. Amen? And when you're born again, yes, now you are alive to God and you can sense a desire to pray. But if you don't feel it enough, your flesh will mask those desires. And you will not feel like doing the things that you want to do. Have you ever felt like praying and you didn't want to pray? Have you ever known, I have to pray, but you just, your mind, is there, have you ever felt a division? I want to pray. Have you set alarm before to wake up at night and you are there? You are awake looking at the ceiling. And you're just like, God, we understand. Who knows what I'm talking about here? Or you plan with a friend, I'm going to pray. And the friend starts calling you. It happened to me yesterday night. I was to pray 11 p.m. Honestly, I saw the call ring for the first time. I didn't want to pick. I was like, oh my God, I have to pray. So I now called her back. So sometimes you're going to have to fight because you won't always feel like it. And the funniest thing is that you who is not praying at that time, if you turn to the right and pick your phone, you can explore till morning. Who knows what I'm talking about? You just be swiping. Till morning. But yet, you don't feel like praying. So it means that the devil has something he wants for you as well. So while you pray, you know, we've said it before that the cure to prayerlessness is prayer. Amen? Is to pray regardless. And I'm going to prove it to you. Don't let me get ahead of myself today. So I started to explain the first point, which is so that God can do in your life what he wants to do. And I started this way by telling you on Thursday that doesn't that seem like a contradiction to God's sovereignty? Why will you pray to invite God to do what he wants to do in your life? Is he not all powerful? He is. But the reason why you have to pray to invite God into the situation is that even though God is sovereign and all powerful, he has given man free will. And so because you have free will, God respects your free will. Meaning if you don't want him in your life, he's going to stay far away. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's going to stay far. If God did not respect free will, he would have converted everybody to follow him. There will be no rebellious person on the earth. But because he respects free will, he decides that you're going to have to invite me. And he has chosen prayer as a method, as a medium, through which if we so desire, we can invite God into every situation of our lives. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so it means that we ought to pray in every aspect of our lives if we want to see the hand of God. Don't think it's automatic. Have you heard people ask the question before? Oh, if God hears my thoughts, why do I need to pray? This is why. Have you felt like that before? This is why. Some of you think prayer is thoughts. So you're walking on the road and in your mind you're saying, Father, help me. Yes, God hears those thoughts, but you have to make intentional efforts to communicate. There are many times that thoughts are okay to God, amen, but you must make intentional efforts as well. Intentional. And this is why. Because God wants to know that in your free will, you choose to invite him. So it's not old school, it's not childish to pray when you're traveling. Some of us have stopped doing it. Since we left our parents' house, you know that thing you used to do when you're traveling? Your dad would gather everybody, Father, protect us. take oil and put it on the car and draw cross. Keep us safe. And now we think we have become mature. Maturity won't wound you. And so you say, no, Father, the Lord will keep me. I'm trying to tell you that prayer is how you invite God into every situation. So I'm trying to train you that you should pray about everything. Everything. Sometimes you're waiting for answers from God and you're not praying. How is he going to talk to you? Who knows what I'm talking about? You are saying, why is God not answering me in this situation, but you're not praying? Or when you go to pray, you bombard him with more requests than trying to listen to him. Because you get what I'm saying, somebody. So, and what I just said is powerful about praying being a medium. That God is always ready to bring his desires to pass in your life, but you have to invite him to do it. Amen. And that's something you should also forget. God has desires. Prayer is a way for you to align with those things as well. Not every prayer is a petition. Are you listening to me? There are many times we'll have to pray without prayer points. It just has to be alignment. Just align me. Align me. Align me. Align me. It was in my heart. What is that prayer that is? Who knows the song? Nobody. If they pray with you, you're going to tell the talk. Holy Ghost, expose it to me. Amen. That God has, don't worry, don't do it, don't worry, don't look left and right. that God also has desires. There are times that what matters, and I'm going to teach you about priorities in prayer. What matters in prayer sometimes is not your will, it's God's will. Are you listening to me, somebody? What did I say? It's whose will? God's will, not just your will. So, God wants you to invite him into the situation. That's why text exists. Like, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loose in heaven. It is because when you make such declarations to bind in heaven, you invite God to the situation. And the power of heaven works with you. But if you don't, it cannot. Amen. So, there's a way to invite the power of heaven with you every day. Every single day. I'm with you, Lord. That song we sang, Blessed Me, you know, Tare, it says, we are together now. Nothing can separate us. We are together. Whatever I'm doing on this earth, I'm inviting you into the situation. That's why the Bible says men ought always to what? To pray and not to faint. And I told you that the word ought there is the word that means what? Must. So the word actually means men must pray. Men mount. I know that's what he's saying. Men must pray. Hallelujah. Amen. And this is important. So, on Thursday we said, where is God taking you to and what has he shown you? Is there any disparity between where you are today and where you need to be? Prayer is the way to get there. The good news is that you can close the gap. Are you seeing what I'm saying? The good news is that vision, because a lot of things God wants to do in your life are tied to the ends of prayer. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The great destiny you have is at the end of prayer. So I'm telling you, many of you will need to pray to save your life. Many of you will need to pray to become the person you saw in the dream and vision. A lot of us receive prophecies and don't know how to steward prophecies. The way to steward prophecy is by what? Prayer. Do you know the fact that God said does not mean to come to pass? And someone just felt like I just said something wrong there. But there's a place in scripture where God said and it did not come to pass. Who knows what I'm talking about? Because God can say, because of the current situation and decisions you are making, and if you change your way, it will not happen. Meaning, God can also say about your future, but if you don't steward it right, it will not happen. It will not. You can be on a good track, but if you get deceived, it will not happen. That's why prayer is critical. That at the end of prayer is the man God has destined you to be. at the end of prayer is the person that you need to be. So if you don't pray, you can't become. You behold to become. Are you getting what I'm saying? You what? You behold to become. If you don't pray, you can't. So why do we pray the way we pray? It's because we know. Actually, it's because we know no other way. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the first thing. We know no other way. Then it's also because we know that we can achieve nothing outside of prayer. At least with God, though, we can achieve nothing with God outside of prayer. If it is with God, we must pray. It's the way we invite God into the situation. You see this camp meeting we're going for? Woe is me if I come without prayer. Because I will just come and deceive all of you and be acting here. Do you get what I'm saying? But you see, if I come with prayer and I say, and if all of us, for example, you know, can align and say, God, we invite you, Jesus. Picture this. You know, why am I trying to get you guys ready for camp meeting? Picture this. I, as your pastor, and I know all of us, you know, always know that, or we believe that, you know, we tell our pastors to pray for us because we believe that they understand the supernatural, the, you know, the workings, and there's a pool of the supernatural that pastors have. That's great. But think of this. I, with all my pool, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, come here and manifest yourself. Let every life be changed. That's great, and that's enough. But just imagine that not only me is asking for it. You join your faith with me. 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 You say, God, this is what I've desired. I want to see it. You say, or he says, Lord, I've never seen visions before. I'm trusting you for a vision. You say, I've never had an angelic ministration before. I'm trusting you for an angelic ministration. You say, Lord, can we see tangible healings? You know what's going to happen in this place? An eruption is going to happen. Because not just am I pulling. Do you know praying before aids your receptiveness? Do you know why? Have you seen people that maybe the pastor just held the mic and they started screaming? And you say, ah, what's wrong with you? You know, actually, many times it's because they were ready. So the pastor did not need to do anything. Just by a little sense of the presence, they became so sensitive to the supernatural. So what your pastors do is that they come here with so much sensitivity to the supernatural that if they discern any oppression of the spirit, they point it out. But imagine not only me comes with the sensitivity of the spirit, you also come with the sensitivity of the spirit. This place will just be like a ticking time bomb ready to explode. That someone can just walk up to you and say, ah, let's pray. You just start crying. Because the glory of God just hits you so heavily. That's why preparation is critical. So you probably asking me, Pastor, why is Lagos always more explosive? It's because the preparation we do is not rice and beans. And you can see more. Do you know what I'm particular about this year for you? We went to Kitchener. The Kitchener guys did not really know how to prepare as much. Not all of them. It was our preparation, but some of them joined us. See, we saw the glory. Who was there? Am I lying? See, we started that meeting. Everywhere was dry. You know what dry means? Meaning, even if God wants to intervene, we need a lot before God should intervene. Everywhere was like, what kind of meeting are we having? And all of a sudden, if you look up, you could almost physically see smoke. I'm not joking. Because in the spirit, you will know definitely that this place is so thick. So I asked myself, I said, why are people outside my home church experiencing the glory at this level? And we're not breaking the roof in this place. Is it not the same power? Is it not the same spirit? Is it not the same grace? You see what I'm saying? That's not my preaching. God just took me there to help you for camp meeting. So, expectation. can muster manifestations. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Can pull manifestations. Hallelujah. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is this. What is at the end of prayer that you are not getting because you are not praying? Look at the song we sang. What needless burdens are you bearing because you've not prayed? What heart are you holding to because you've not prayed? Do you know prayer can solve heartbreak and hurt? So, some of you are reacting to heartbreak like the person that broke your heart is the God of your life. Do you know what I'm saying? You have to refocus the attention a bit. You can't have that much pull over me. You are just human. And just shift it to God a bit. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the easiest way for forgiveness to come. What pain are you going through because you've not prayed? What family member is struggling with sickness because you've not prayed? What great destiny do you have that you've not achieved because you've not prayed? Maybe at this point, in God's manuscript and in the blueprint of heaven, you should be already an evangelist with at least 500 souls won. But maybe because you've not prayed, you are still here. Amen? Not that our church is low, but at least you have a great destiny ahead of you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you know it's possible for you to be looking at me and this is your destiny, but you only did not achieve it because you went a different route? You know, that's the hardest thing. Has God asked you to do something before and you didn't do it, and 2 months later you saw two people doing it? I'm telling you, two people who just aligned, who probably just prayed. And sometimes they did not pray. God just said, this must be done. Do it. Have you seen secular people do things that God has asked Christians to do? And they do not pray. And God just says, this one, oh, it must be done. So, do it. But what if we pray? What if we prayed more? What if? So, last year, there were a lot of things I forced you guys to do. But this year, you begin to see the results. We're doing 5, 6 hours. How many of you remember? 7 hours. In the end, it felt good, but not at the beginning. But now you will see the reason. You will see that maybe, just maybe, the reason why we're even doing the way we're doing is because we prayed. If we did not pray, who knows where we will be? Who knows? A lot of you have gained stamina. Do you know you gain stamina and stature in prayer? You don't leave prayer the same way. Never. There's always a building. You might not know, but when it happens, you know that it's because I prayed. You will know. It's not in the immediate. You might just be in a situation where someone offends you and your backhand is already... But something just controls you and you know it's because I prayed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Or a different type of generosity that you are not used to doing. And you just know, I'm aligned. I'm more aligned than I used to be because I prayed. What am I trying to say in the end? I'm trying to say many things God wants to do in your life are tied to the end of prayer. Are you listening to me, somebody? So, how, and that's, this is all I want to teach you today. How can you allow God do what he wants to do in your life? How can you allow God do what he wants to do in your life? How can you allow God do what he wants to do in your life? Number one, always show up. I'm not even talking to church. I'm talking to prayer. Always show up. The one of showing up to church, we'll deal with that one later. But you see, prayer, always show up. Funny enough, it's the same principle that runs for why you should show up to church that runs for why you should show up in prayer. Same principle. And everybody needs this principle, including me. Because the best of us, we have days when we wake up and it looks like we're in the Sahara spiritually. It looks like, it feels like a desert.
The funny thing is that you might have prayed the night before and everywhere is shaking. Shala. You see what we did now? You might have prayed this prayer where everywhere was shaking. Shala, da, ba, da, ba, eba. Then you get home to pray. It's just dry. No sense of spiritual presence. You do shabala. You don't feel it. You know what I'm talking about? You do shabala, blah, blah, blah. You now start feeling like something I'll be telling you. Stop forcing yourself, Jare. Not easy. You do shabala. You say, Mama, sit down, Jare. Nothing is there. Who knows what I'm talking about? You felt it before. I felt it before too. That's when the voice is going to tell you, you that you just finished doing rubbish yesterday. You that you have not come here since. Amen. And you just had a prayer meeting where everywhere was big, 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 big. You have to, God, are we fighting? Has it even happened to you before? Maybe you want to ask God for something and every time you come to pray, he's going not, shh, nothing. Are we fighting? What did I do? Or has it happened to you before? You used to go 5 hours, 3 hours, but you can't go 30 minutes. You will always lose concentration. That's what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. You just connect more. You don't feel like, they would have messaged me about that job. You not check, no message. You know, so you can't even spend long time. Listen to me. As a matter of principle, and this is the solution. Are you hearing me, everybody? Please, are you listening to me? As a matter of principle, you must stand on the faithfulness of the word of God and not your experience. That's the only way. You must what? Stand on what? On the faithfulness of the word of God and not your experience. You need this in every part of your life. A lot of us have been raised on encounters that we don't understand principles. So the things you don't feel like they are manifestations, you don't feel like God is there. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There are principles. If you're raised on just encounters, when everywhere feels contradictory, you will break. Are you listening to me? If you only went to church because of encounters and you never learned the principle, the day something shows up, you will not go to church. The same for prayer. But there are principles to these things that you can't break. For example, there is no way you will step into this temple and you will live the same way. Either you feel it or not. That's a principle. There is no way. Because no one steps into the presence of God where other believers are gathered and is not touched by the presence. Either you feel it or not. It's a matter of principle. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? It's a matter of principle. So, the same for prayer. It doesn't matter if you feel it or not. God is there. Meaning that while you are praying and you held the FIFA pad, shalapatape, kelapa, during devotion, selena minka, or you are cooking. Let me not look at anybody's side. I'm joking. And you are cooking during devotion. Or you are doing every other thing. You must realize that every time you come to pray, God shows up too. Either you feel it or not. So he's there. Say, Moses, talk to me now. Say, hey, Shemu Afana. Inside prayer. Please, are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? God shows up too. And what you must know is this. Listen to me, everybody. Prayer will never be a waste of time. Amen. Do you know the funniest thing? Let me tell you one of the strongest principles you must have in your life. How many of you have prayed dozing prayer before? There's one time we used to do Zoom. When we were still using Jennifer's house, we used to do Zoom that time. Zoom prayer Friday. Voice go go. Amen. Even if it has happened. One time me and Siri say we'll do stretch in my former house. She said, no, you are sleeping. I said, I'm not sleeping now.
Amen. But you see, let me tell you the strongest principle to learn. Even when you pray dozen prayers, pray through. If you learn to pray through, as a matter of principle, you would always be better. Did you hear what I said? If every time you feel like dozing or you feel like doing something else, you give in, you will never be better. You won't even grow in prayer. You will not feel like praying after that. You've made the situation worse because you just told your brain something else is priority. You know that excuse we used to give us? I do it when I'm walking, but I'm not doing it with prayer. Which is, when I'm working, once I feel like I'm sleeping, I know I'm not going to achieve anything here. I'll just go and sleep. But you see, with prayer, I try to push through. Sometimes you might have to just go and sleep if you know that it's not... Now, my brain is not really... But sometimes pray through. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Because as a matter of principle, prayer will never be a waste of time. Tell the person beside you, say, prayer will never be a waste of time. Because sometimes you might feel like it, but listen, your feelings are not always accurate. Come on, we exalt our feelings too much. Do you know that as a believer, you would feel like God is not with you at least 100 times in a year? But that does not mean it's true, because the Holy Ghost is in you. You will feel like God is angry with you 5 million times as well. Sometimes God is angry with you because the things that you are doing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But I'm trying to tell you, your feelings are not always accurate. They are not. Don't be controlled by it. I've made funny decisions too because of my feelings. When I was younger, very young in university, I did something that I didn't like, and I felt like God was angry with me. And I was the drummer of the church. I came to church that day, I say I'm not drumming because I don't feel like the presence of God is with me. So the service was going to decline for that reason. Foolish me. And they were trying to convince me that still play. I was like, no. I made God a promise. I'm sure they were looking at me like, what's wrong with this boy? Baba, go and drum, Jare. Not because they felt like I should come with my sin to play, but because they knew that either ways, I'm going to sort that out with God. But now there's something of priority that I'm needed for. So I'm just, in quotes, feeling important. Do you get what I'm saying? Some of you do it. You say, I've sinned against God. I must punish myself. And you're punishing yourself is by foolish things. Because they are not things God will have you do. Or you say, Father, I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me a hired servant, like the prodigal son. You will not say, for 2 weeks I will stay away from your presence until I get myself right. Is it not in the presence that you get yourself right? Do you get what I'm saying? So, your feelings are not always right. And this pains my heart a lot because a lot of us want to feel things before we believe. But in God's dictionary, in his diary, in what he believes, you have to believe first. You think seeing is believing? No, with God, believing is seeing. If you believe that you are in the presence of God, you will see it. You won't always see it before you believe. If you go to pray believing that God would always show up, it doesn't matter how you feel. Are you listening to me, somebody? So you must believe first. I want you to carry this mentality. It's very critical. How about you believe in the one who instructed us to pray? And who told you that he will show up? Are you listening to what I'm saying? How about you believe in him? And this mentality, we carry it everywhere too. We do it in church, we do it in evangelism, in prayer. Listen, believe. Believe. Shall I show you how we do it everywhere? We do it everywhere. You say, once you see any labor that you cannot physically see the result, you think you are wasting your time. But that's a problem. If I walk like that, I don't quit pastoring since. Imagine discipling somebody and the next day you see the person in sin like this. You can't give up now because you have to believe that God is working in him. Do you understand what I'm saying? That, even in evangelism, do you know In 1 year, if you go out to evangelize every Saturday, you would be a lucky man. Not lucky. The hand of the Lord must be at play. If in a year, you successfully converted 50 people who had never heard the gospel before. Do you know? I'm giving you I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just giving you actual statistics based on what we're doing here. Do you know what I'm saying? Actually, if we go out that frequently, we will see good numbers. But people who never heard before, that is you that converted them. No. But you see, you might get 200 people converted, but you are not the one that started the job. Do you hear what I said? So if the person that started the job stopped evangelizing just because he's not seeing the results of his evangelism, would we have results today? No. Meaning, no matter how many times we preach to people and how many times it looks like we are pouring water into a basket, never think like that. Because we believe that every seed sown will yield a result. It might not be you that finally gets that conversion, but that seed you planted, the person will think through it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why we keep speaking. Because with God, what goes around comes around. Because the people that finally come to us, we might not have been the ones that started the job. But our investment will go around and it will come back to us. I'm not the one that taught many of you the gospel for the first time. But you are here today. Somebody preached to you. If the person stopped because he was not seeing results, you won't be here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, it's not always about what we see or what we feel. It's about what we believe in principle is happening. In prayer, it's not always about what you feel. It's about the fact that prayer will never be a waste of time. Can you say that, somebody? Can you say it like you believe it? It might not seem charismatic enough to you, but this is the truth. You will never. You know, the high priest came and saw Hannah praying. And because of how she was praying, he thought she was drunk. Because maybe according to him, prayer should be done in a type of way. But if you know who we are talking about, the God that we are talking about, you will see that what she was praying about touched her so much. So, she didn't necessarily follow the principle of what you say, you know, stand upright is the Lord. She was just there. I'm telling you to always show up. And God heard that. Amen? You need to know the God you are serving. It's a heart matter. Hagar was carrying a baby. The baby cried. And an angel appeared to solve the problem. And he said that the Lord has heard the cry of the baby. How does God hear cry? So, thank God for 7 steps to prayer. 7 principles on how to pray. The baby did not know any of that. The baby just cried and God heard and knew what the child needed. Do you hear what I just said? So, it doesn't matter if when you show up, you pray in tongues throughout. Or when you show up, you pray in the understanding throughout. Or you just even showed up and you were thinking in your brain and talking to God throughout. It matters that you showed up. God knows what every single one of us needs at the point that we're in. That is why there will be people that will never speak in tongues, but will have great relationship, even greater than some people that speak in tongues with God. Did you hear what I said? Uh-huh. We don't idolize speaking in tongues. Do you understand this? We don't. We don't idolize it. It would always be a heart matter. At the core, it will always be a heart matter. So I'm telling you, always show up. That's all that matters. If you set your alarm in the morning and you wake up and you don't feel like praying, show up. Be there. Play the worship music. Stay there. Get a prayer. Let me encourage this. I've not done this before. Buy prayer journals. If you cannot talk, write it. Hey, are you hearing me? By the way, my wife sells prayer journals if you want to buy. God, you know, please encourage the business. Actually, everybody in this church should have a. When you are coming to church next Sunday, bring your prayer journal. Amen. But are you getting what I'm saying? journal, play the song. Sometimes it's just being there in that atmosphere. Some of you, you know, your prayer playlist is due to change. You can sing all the songs there. You are not praying. Because some of you pray, we do, oh, Adolam. You are singing the song with them. You even know the tongues. Skelese prale kali. Change your playlist. You are no more praying. You are just following the person singing, doing all this tongue. Ele, what is that? Amen. So, God understands. The prophet told God, reveal yourself to me. There was an earthquake. The Bible says God was not in it. There was lightning and thunder. He said God was not in it. He was in the still, small voice. Many of you know that the encounters that changed your life were not always the spectacular ones. The days you made decisions to change, you just sat down. And something just came in your mind that, you know that what you are doing now is stupid. And you're like, yes, sir. You're like, I will change. And in big, now, I'm not saying that in spectacular big meetings, things don't happen. But I'm saying you know that there are many things that happen. You know that no matter how many times someone tells you, you must pray. You will still check it in your mind before you now finally come to a conclusion. Sometimes it's not always in the spectacular. It might just, see, for your prayer life to change, it might just be as you are listening now, the Lord is just convicting your heart. You've been praying since, trying to force it. The Lord just convicts your heart. So sometimes, you might just be in your room. You didn't feel like praying, but you played the song, and you were just there. And then all of a sudden, you just remembered, it's true. God gave me this prophecy this day. And you start praying, and burdens start coming. And you just say, all you need to do then, focus, because if you catch that burden, hey! See, I've prayed some prayers lately that I know that my intestine is not very well. Have you prayed a prayer before? Like, Lord, on this matter, amen. Some of you might just be that you just get fed up at where you are. All of a sudden, like, there is more. Please, are you listening to me? Okay. So, the reason why you must understand is because the devil uses this as a trick.
Not wasting time calling upon your name. I'm not wasting time calling upon your name. I'm not wasting time. I'm not wasting time. Calling upon your name, I'm not wasting time. I'm not wasting time. Calling.
Listen, the devil uses this as a trick to deceive you. You've only begun praying, and devil is telling you it's not working. You see, that voice that is telling you it's not working is not God. It's the devil. And he's telling you, see, you know, I have not come here before. Yeah, it's not God. The devil uses it. Do you know the funniest thing? Do you know how counterproductive it is that the devil is telling you that, see, you just started praying. Why are you praying here when you are praying? You know what I'm saying? It's so counterproductive for the devil to tell you that you are wasting your time. You cannot pray when you are praying. You didn't get what I said. Do you know how counterproductive it is for you to stop praying because you've not prayed long before and in the place of prayer? You now start feeling bad, like, me that I've not prayed, I've not been praying since. Then you stop praying. So the devil makes you guilty. It makes you feel guilty for not praying whilst you are praying. Is that not the solution? Are you not already there? That's why you can't listen to your flesh and the devil. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So you have to shut the devil up and focus. Amen, somebody. Amen. My second point, and I'm going to rush it because I feel like I still need to give us like time, like maybe even if it's 5 minutes to pray. My second point is this. No matter how far away you have been, you can be on fire again. Did you hear what I said? No matter how far away you have been, I don't know how to ingrain this into your spirit. The things of God are extremely combustible. Do you know what it means for something to be highly combustible? Who knows what it means for something to be highly combustible? Have you poured gasoline before, or, you know, petrol before, and you saw some type of thing on top of it that you can't see through, you know? And you don't actually need to put a match into the gasoline for it to ignite. You just need to bring it to close enough proximity. That means that gasoline is highly what? Combustible. I'm telling you that the things of God are highly combustible because they don't need to even touch. They just need to be in proximity. This is one of the reasons why we say come to church. Because no matter how dead your altar is, you just need to be in proximity with where you are going. You are lying. Are you listening to me? The things of God are extremely combustible. You don't prophesy, but if you walk around prophets, you prophesy. He told Saul, he said, in the company of prophets. Saul did what? He prophesied. It didn't matter if he had never prophesied before. Because he was in the company of prophets, he prophesied. That's how the things of the Spirit are. If you walk in the company of people that are on fire for God, you will catch fire. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You will what? You will catch fire. It's not possible to remain the same. It's not possible. The things of God are highly combustible. I'm letting you know about the faithfulness of God. Even though some of us might be weak, you will never remain there for long. I just told you something important. Did you say a big amen there? You can't remain there for long. Do you believe what I'm saying? You can't. At least you are here. You see, my points are making themselves. At least you are here. That's why at the base level, always go to church. Because at the very least, you have a structure that is consistent. So no matter how far the devil takes you from God, just because you still show up to church, you have hope. I'm telling you, you have hope that one message shall catch you. That's why I always tell you come to church. No matter the excuse, I say come. Because at least you are here. You know what highly combustible is? It's just power. Power just needs to address your situation. And God is in the atmosphere. Has it happened to you before? You didn't feel like coming. You got here. Bam! That's the God. I know it all too well. Sometimes I'll be feeling so down. Do you know sometimes it's even the way God works with love. Sometimes it's people. It's people. You can be feeling, someone just hug you. And you're like, I can't even throw these people away for any reason. Are you getting what I'm saying? I can't. Some of you are like, I can. If you say I can, you better change your heart. Hey, something is wrong, go. Amen. Hallelujah. But you won't be there for long. Say a big amen. Amen. Some of you have not talked to God properly in a long time, but I'm telling you, fire is coming on your altar. Amen. Say a big amen. Amen. Nobody needs to have spiritual favor as a thing of the past forever. No. You can be reignited. Do you believe the word of God? It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Meaning, it may be gone before, but it can come back. They shall renew. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not what faint. It doesn't matter how weak you've been. Strength is coming to you. Say a big amen. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how long you've not prayed for. Life is coming to you. In the name of Jesus. As you open your mouth to pray in this service, and you've already done, and as you continue to do in this month, everything is reshaping in alignment. Say a big amen. God is not going to say, you that was calling last year, no answer. Some of you think that's what God will say. No. Even in the story of the prodigal son, you see him looking out, waiting. How much more you
that he has redeemed. He's waiting. See, you just need to, he will pull you. All you just need to do is just stretch. Small. Don't even stretch, just he will pull you. Fire will come. Just open your, it says a contrite heart, God will not despise. All you need to do is genuinely say, Lord, come. It will finish you with love and fire. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Just say, Lord, come. You will pray. Are you getting what I'm saying? A contrite heart. This is one of the reasons why strife kills prayer life. Because your heart has to be right with God. So anytime you're doing something that you know that you can change and you don't change, it's not that God doesn't want you, it's that your heart will always be going back there. Are you getting what I'm saying? So all you just say, God, come. Are you listening to me? I don't have time to explain fire in the Bible, but let me tell you this. Old Testament altars were places of sacrifice. An altar actually means to slay. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So, altars were used for sacrifice. But one thing particular about altars, it got to a stage that men were not just the ones that put the fire on the altar. God was sending fire by himself to show that this is acceptable and I am here. Men now started to recognize that when they descend that the presence of God is in somewhere, is in a place, they will build an altar there to signify his presence. So fire in the Old Testament started to signify the active will and presence of God. But something happened. God told them when they built the tabernacle, fire must always be on the altar to signify that I'm always here with you. Amen? In the temple, the same, that I'm always here with you. But altars were only telling a story of your life. They were only telling a story of your life because the actual only altar that can give perpetual sacrifice to God is you. Did you hear what I said? You are the only one who can give perpetual sacrifice. In Romans, I think he said, where he says, do not be conformed to this world. He says, present yourself a living sacrifice. Sacrifices are usually dead. But he says, present yourself a living dead man who can always be a sacrifice to me. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And so your life is always supposed to be perpetually on fire for God as well. There should always be prayer, sacrifice, worship in your life to God, in your heart to God. But let me tell you something. A story that happened in the Old Testament, that if it could happen in the Old Testament, then there's no excuse for you not to catch fire today. Elijah built an altar to God. He told them to pour 12 drums of water. It's like, you see this altar? Let me show you that it is cold. He poured water on it. He kept on pouring water on it, soaking it wet. Do you know you can use wet blankets to extinguish fire? Do you know if you try to ignite wet blankets, you will spend a long time? Almost impossible. It would take a while. It has to dry. Are you see what I'm saying? But Elijah told them, call your God. Let him call down fire here. They cut themselves, beat themselves up. Call him, Baal, to send fire. Fire did not come. Then Elijah called on the name of the Lord. And fire came from heaven and consumed the altar. It licked up all the water and it became on fire completely. Listen to me. If Elijah could call fire on an Old Testament altar that was dead, you can call fire on your altar and God will answer. The Lord that answers by fire is your God. Did you hear what I just said? The God that answers by fire is what? Is your. Can you say that the God that answers by fire is my God? If you're already feeling a stir, I want you to already be praying as I'm telling you this. The God that answers by fire is your God. Jacob was walking. He got to a place he was tired. He picked up a stone. He used it for a pillow. And when he slept, the Bible says he saw angels ascending and descending. Theologians and historians make us understand that that location was where Abraham had built an altar before the Lord to sacrifice Isaac. So that was a spiritual location. And even though the altar had crumbled, just because Jacob took it, There was still fire and life in it. The presence of God was there, that he had supernatural encounters. I don't know what extent your altar has broken to. It can be built back up. There is still fire on your altar. It can come back to life. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Ayatala takapariya takapaya. It can come back to life. So wherever you are, rise to your feet right now and begin to call down fire on your altar. Salatele kabratale atai.